to the effect... If you boys will be quiet, I'll read it. A substitute motion to the effect that Section 2 concerning race relations be deleted, and that our recommendation be as follows. One, that we are fully cognizant of the world situation which exists today in the area of human relations, with its effect on the Christian witness in the whole world. Two, that we also fully recognize the dignity of every human being as God's creation, with his right to have opportunity to achieve full realization of every human capability given him by God. Three, that we further recognize the responsibility of Christians and churches so to live and so to act as to bring about Christian solutions to these problems. And four, that we remind ourselves and the world that Southern Baptists have not been silent in seeking Christian solutions to these problems, but have spoken and have through their institutions and agencies extended their ministries to people of all races. In doing this, these institutions and agencies have acted on the authority of the convention and bodies controlling them. Five, that it is our conviction that the final solution to these problems must come on the local level, with Christians and churches acting under the direction of the Holy Spirit and in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. This must be in full recognition of the autonomy of each Baptist church. And six, that we would urge every Southern Baptist and every church earnestly to pray and work that peaceful Christian solutions may be found in all of the racial relationships facing the world today, and that in their solution the world may see Christ and that God may be glorified. This is the substitute motion. A point of order is raised at mic number two. Would you state your name, please?
Seymour from North Carolina. Is it in order to question the truth of any part of this statement?
I think this is not open now for discussion. The convention has acted that this is brought before us for action at this time.
The statement says that all of our institutions and agencies have been open in their ministry to all people. I would question this as being true in terms of our Southern Baptist hospitals that are still segregated.
I'm sure we all want the truth, but I'll have to rule this brother out of order. This is not before us now for discussion.
Mr. Chairman, can we also have the Christian Life Commission read again?
That's not the question under consideration.
The motion before us must be put to a vote at this time, is my understanding. And the motion before us is the substitute, which has just been read by James Middleton.
Brothers, please, Patrick.
If you favor the adoption of the substitute as read by James Middleton, will you indicate, please, by rising? I remind you that only messengers to this convention are eligible to vote. Thank you. If you are opposed to this substitute, will you indicate by rising?
Lawson.
The substitute is lost. Hmm.
make a motion?
Brother President.
Let me recognize you.
Right. Brother President. I recognize Archie Ellis from South Carolina. Brother President, there seems to be a bit of confusion about us. I move you, sir, that this ballot be taken by secret ballot. The motion has been made and seconded that we vote now on this by secret ballot. I recognize Herschel Hobbs of Oklahoma. I hope that you will vote by a secret ballot. From where I was sitting, I could see pretty well. I'm not questioning the ruling of the presiding officer one bit. But I am saying that it was mighty close, and the only way we can be certain is with a written ballot. I think if Southern Baptists feel that if they know that a written ballot was taken, regardless of how the vote goes, we are Baptists, we are Democratic, we are brethren, and we'll go away and say it was a good convention and we're satisfied. I hope you'll vote it. Is there further discussion on the motion to vote by secret ballot? If you favor, will you indicate by saying aye? If you oppose, no. It is carried. Let me remind you again that only messengers are to vote. Let me also remind you that we are voting on the substitute motion. The motion of James Middleton. Brother President, if you are in favor then of the substitute motion, you will vote on ballot number 5. Yes.
If you're opposed, you vote no.
If you have already used it, have we already used ballot 5? I have a ballot 5 which I didn't get to use. If you use up all your ballots, you'll vote on any piece of paper. Please do not fold it. It will be in your interest if you do not fold it. It's immaterial. You can turn it down, and the person next to you won't know how you voted, and it'll be a secret ballot. The ushers are already receiving the ballot. Pass to the end of the aisle. You'll vote yes if you're in favor of the substitute. You'll write no if you are opposed to the substitute. Is it a question at mic 4 or a speech you want to make? What is the question? What is the question at mic 4?
I have a parliamentary inquiry, Brother President. If we vote yes or no on this ballot, we will be in a hiatus with a pending question on the floor that has not been resolved until we have a ballot count. I'm proposing that by unanimous consent, we agree to a procedure by which we may adopt or reject this amendment in connection with the whole report. If such a procedure can be devised, I believe we can expedite the business before us.
There has been objection raised to this. We are now voting by secret ballot.
Will the chair tell me where we stand as soon as the ballots have been taken in reference to the pending motion?
The motion will then come back to the floor of the convention for consideration.
In other words, the main question that we have before us will come back at a time announced by the Committee on Order of Business?
That is right.
Thank you, sir.
Now, we're going to have some more tellers, and I'll either call for volunteers or conscripts. These 12 men right here on this first row have already volunteered. And the 6 men on the next row have volunteered. And the men on the next row have volunteered. And all of you will go to room 19, which is the first flight up, and you'll find the way to 19 in the middle. No one else will leave unless you're volunteered and you tell her.
I recognize the chairman of the committee on order of business.
Mr. President, the committee on order of business is setting the time for the consideration of the matter at hand at 2:18 this afternoon.
Entertain a motion to adjourn. If you favor, will you vote aye? Opposed, no. It is so ordered.
Carried our souls.
And we're grateful to the choir of the Manhattan Baptist Church in New York City, our own Southern Baptist Church there, for coming down from New York to sing for us this afternoon. And I think it'd be all right if you want to give them a hand. Mr. Burl Redd is their minister of music, Mr. Jack Jones, their accompanist. In a few moments, they will be singing for us again. But now may we all join in singing hymn number 7. Hymn number 7, the first and the last stanzas. Stanzas 1 and 3, crown him with many crowns. Hymn number 7, may we stand together as we sing. For one more selection, we'd like to present the Manhattan Baptist Church Choir from New York City, Mr. Burl Redd conducting.
convention is in session once again. We begin in humble, prayerful spirit with the reading of God's word and prayer. We need this. Those who come in will, I am sure, be just as quiet as possible. We shall give attention now to the reading of the scripture. Howard Todd Taylor of Illinois will read from God's word, and we shall be led in prayer by John Wiles of New Mexico. The scripture we shall read is found in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, reading beginning with the 11th and concluding with the 24th verses. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that ye should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother hath need, and setteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us.
Would you stand with us as we pray? Our Father in heaven, how our hearts are thankful unto thee this day for all of the rich blessings that have been ours in thee. And so we pray, our Father, that today you will so speak to our hearts, and in the sessions of this convention, make us conscious again of thy great love. Bind us again together more closely in that love that we have for thee. We pray, our Father, that in these precious moments that we have opportunity to fellowship together, you shall help us to keep in mind those who stay behind, those in our churches who give of their person and of their possessions, and in their prayers, that we may cooperate in missionary endeavor. And oh God, help us to be faithful to that charge that is ours. And may we seek always to exalt our Savior and proclaim truly his word. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We come to a period of miscellaneous business, and hear the report of the tellers from Secretary Jill Burton. The tellers report that on the vote on the substitute motion by Middleton, that the substitute carried.
Thank you, Brother Barton. A motion was made by Brother Nain Storn in connection with the tenure of the president, and that was assigned to the Committee on Order of Business, and they had set it up for this hour. However, I have conferred with Dr. Nain Storn, and he is in very fine, courteous agreement that the action of our convention this morning expresses the consensus of this session of the convention, so that any further action on this motion would be unnecessary. I believe that we have a couple of messengers on the platform who have asked to be recognized during this miscellaneous period, and we will give them opportunity now to present what they have in mind. Horace Chapman, South Carolina.
Dr. White, brethren of the and sisters of this convention, this that I am about to present to you comes from a heart that and a mind that I have prayed about it, I've thought about it. I have not discussed it with the brethren. Thank you. I have not discussed it with people to find out what they thought about it. I mentioned it to two of our responsible leaders and asked them if this would be an improper matter to be presented to our convention, and they said they did not think so. We have a condition in our convention that is growing, and I think that the time has come for us to give a reevaluation to it to see whether or not it should be continued or whether it should be changed. I speak by experience, and there are other people in this convention who have had the same experience, who have borne the same scars, and there are others that will bear the same scars if God permits time to go on. And whenever this kind of thing is present, I feel like that Christians should get together and consider and evaluate the matter, and if it can be altered to where the same work could be done without the possibility of hurting unnecessarily innocent people, that they should do it. So I move that we request the executive committee, in conference with the five chairmen, the past five chairmen of the Committee on Boards and Agencies, to study the advisability of amending Article 6 of our Constitution. The provisions of this article govern the election and term of office of members of our boards and agencies. The report of the Executive Committee and the past Chairman of the Committee on Boards shall be given to the 1965 convention in session in Dallas, Texas. This study should determine if the present procedure is the best in the light of the total objective, or if the good of our work would be best served by a change. Presently, we elect members for one short term and leave them eligible for a second short term. It may be wise to elect men for longer terms without the provision for a second term. In state after state, the matter of renaming or changing eligible members has strained fellowship and created misunderstanding. If proper prayer is given to determine Holy Spirit leadership, a longer term will not create a problem. The talent of a member that a member may bring by experience to a second term may be offset by a disruption of state fellowship, and the liability of an inactive member may be compensated for by uninterrupted and harmonious work on the state level. Any matter that is not directly the result of biblical injunction might be improved if it is reviewed in the light of Christian love as well as efficient business procedures. Mr. President, I move
make this motion.
Thank you, both chairman and the chair would rule that since this is quite a long, involved statement, it would be impossible for us, even with unanimous consent, to deal with it. It will be referred to our committee on order of business and will be reassigned. Someone else spoke to me. Yes.
Brother President, since making our report today on the committee on board, word has come to me that one of the members on the Radio and Television Commission representing Indiana cannot serve. So the Indiana member of the committee on board has suggested a substitute name. The name of the man who cannot serve is Homer Roberts on the Radio and Television Commission, term expiring 1965. In his place, the Indiana member gave me this name, Reverend A.C. Baker, Seymour, Indiana. I move you that we approve Brother Baker to serve in this capacity.
Thank you, Brother Chairman. And unless there is objection, this change in the announced membership will stand.
I will special order on the action of this report to you.
I believe it is time for the special order, but if we could be indulged for just a moment, there are two matters that will take only a few moments. Dr. Porteroo.
Meeting here in Atlantic City, we did not have any local churches, but Maryland has served as our host in a very wonderful way, and I know that you would want to meet the people who have given sacrificially of their time, unselfishly of their time, because they wanted us to have the kind of convention that they wanted us to have as the host. So I should like to ask the members of the local committee if they would come forward. I believe they are now. Mr. G.W. Bullard, who is chairman of the general chairman for the Committee on Local Arrangements. The chairman for information has been Mr. C.C. Anderson. For ushers, Mr. Ralph Neighbors. First aid, if you would come forward as I call your name, please come right up here on the line up here. I think people would want to know who you are. Come right on. First aid, George Bagwell. Decorations, Robert F. Woodward. Nursery, John Raymond. Registration, Klein L. Weiss. Pages, John Saunders. Post office, Elmer F. Dork. And publicity, Gaynor E. Bryan, Jr. I think that you would want to join with me in giving these a hand. This is Dr. Weiss coming up now. He's still registering people. Yeah.
We're deeply grateful to these brethren. They've done a wonderful job, and they've put a lot of work into it, and it has borne fruit. And in recognizing the work that they have done, I would like also to recognize the very fine service rendered by the young men who have served as pages during our convention. They've been most helpful and efficient. They're not all here at this time, but we recognize the ones who are present and would like them to step out here in front with these men. Would you like to give all of them a good hand once again? Thank you, every one of you. You've contributed greatly to our convention. Now, if you will indulge us just a moment, we have a guest upon the platform whom we would like to present at this time, Mr. Harry Siemens, who is from the State Department in Washington and is representing Secretary Rusk. We would like to present him, and he would bring a word of greeting.
Dr. White, messengers and guests of the Southern Baptist Convention, I bring you greetings from Secretary Rusk and also an expression of real regret that he could not accept your invitation to speak. I owe a debt to the Southern Baptist Convention, even though I'm a Methodist bureaucrat. I've married a Southern Baptist, for which I'm eternally grateful, and also had the opportunity of attending BYPU as a youngster, which meant a great deal to me. I'm grateful for this continuing relationship, which I have as liaison officer in the Department of State, with the churches of the United States, and particularly with the Southern Baptist Convention. Thank you for making my presence possible.
Thank you, Mr. Siemens. We are glad for your presence and for that word of greeting from Secretary Rusk. Now, we are slightly beyond the time that was scheduled for the special order. Since your president had to be away from the convention for a while this morning in the other convention, and our first vice president is thoroughly familiar with what you have done in this matter, I have asked him, and he has graciously consented to carry through on this. So our vice president, Dr. Paul James, will come now to preside.
The matter before the convention at this time is action on the report of the Christian Life Commission. It was moved and seconded that this report be adopted. This has been changed, as you know, by the deletion of the last two articles in Section 4, by the adoption of a substitute relating to Section 2. What will you do with the remaining report of the Christian Life Commission? Is there any further discussion concerning this report? The amendment passed. This means that Section 2 concerning race relations has a substitute section now, which was adopted by the convention this morning in the ballot vote. Question has been called for. Are you ready to vote on the report of the Christian Life Commission as amended? If you favor the adoption of the report as amended, will you indicate, please, by saying aye? Contrary, no. The chair is not sure how this vote went. I'm going to ask, please, that all those favoring the adoption of the report as amended will indicate by standing. Thank you. Be seated. If you are opposed to the report as amended, will you stand? The report is adopted.
The Committee on Resolutions will meet immediately in Room 4. Committee on Resolutions. The next matter of business is the election of a second vice president, and we would entertain nominations for that office at this time. William Dodson of Florida.
Mr. President and fellow messengers, I wish to place in nomination for second vice president of this convention the name of Dr. Henry L. Lyon, Jr., pastor of the Highland Avenue Baptist Church of Montgomery, Alabama. Dr. Lyon is a graduate of Howard College and of Southern Seminary. Dr. Lyon served as an Air Force chaplain for 34 months during World War II. Dr. Lyon was honored by Alabama Baptists, being elected to serve as president of the Alabama Baptist Convention for 2 years, 1955-1956. This experience as a denominational leader and as a presiding officer will enable my nominee to serve well, as others have done, as second vice president of this convention. Dr. Henry L. Lyon has served as pastor of the Highland Avenue Baptist Church of Montgomery for the past 18 years. His church, with 3,324 members, is the largest church of any denomination of Montgomery. Dr. Lyon served 2 3-year terms as a member of our home mission board. I urge you to elect this dedicated pastor and denominational servant as second vice president of this convention. I place in nomination the name of Dr. Henry L. Lyon, Jr. of Alabama.
Henry L. Lyon, Jr. of Alabama has been nominated, and the chair recognizes T.L. McSween, Kentucky.
Thank you. I want to place a nomination for the office of second vice president, an outstanding layman, Mr. Gregory Walcott of Hollywood, California. 35 years ago, if someone would have suggested a man in his profession, he probably would have received raised eyebrows. The times are changing, and Baptists are becoming more and more aware of the importance of having consecrated, dedicated men in strategic secular professions such as government, education, and the mass media of communication. Gregory Walcott's profession falls under the latter category. He is the first Southern Baptist to attain a degree of success as an actor in the motion picture television industry, to my knowledge. But in all his success and public recognition, Gregory Walcott has remained true to his first love. He has said so often, "I make my living in the motion picture business, but my main business is winning men to Christ." I want you to elect Gregory Walcott for 3 reasons. First, he is a man of high Christian principle and morals. Asked recently by a newspaper reporter if he drank socially, he replied, "No, I don't even drink privately." Addressing a group of drama students at a college recently, he said, "The most important character you will ever develop is your own." As a layman, he will bring to this office a distinction and will be a credit to all of us. Secondly, Gregory Walcott is a Southern Baptist to the core. He spoke Tuesday to our preachers' conference, and we were all delighted at his address. He helped organize the First Baptist Church of Beverly Hills, California. He's a tither, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, and has served as chairman of the pulpit committee and finance committee in his own church. His pastor is proud to call him a member of his church. Gregory now spends half of his time in speaking engagements in Baptist churches, camps, colleges, and seminaries. Last year, he traveled over 70,000 miles preaching at our revivals and youth rallies, conventions, and evangelistic conferences. Some of his engagements were First Baptist Church, Houston, San Antonio, and Dallas, Texas, Memphis, Tennessee, Charlotte, North Carolina, Emanuel Church of Paducah, Kentucky, Bellevue of Memphis, and the Texas Evangelism Conference, Florida Evangelism Conference, New Mexico Evangelism Conference, and others. Next to the president of our convention, he travels more, in my estimation, than any other man, and therefore knows the heartbeat of our people. In the third place, I want to nominate him because we need him right where he is. We need the Baptist and Protestant image lifted in Hollywood. His desire to make a motion picture, the first Southern Baptist to be so recognized on the commercial screen, is the life story of Dr. Bill Wallace. I think he would add a dignity to this, and I urge you to elect Gregory Walcott of Hollywood.
Gregory Walcott of California is nominated. Recognize Howard Altman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I do not have a nominating speech written out. I simply want to place nomination of a man who has for all of his lifetime moved smoothly, quietly, serenely, yet very vigorously among Southern Baptists. Dr. Dick H. Hall has for many, many years served the cause of Christ and Southern Baptists as the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Decatur, Georgia. I place in nomination the name of the great Dr. Dick H. Hall to be honored by this convention as being made its second vice president.
D.K. Hall, Jr. of Georgia has been nominated. Recognize Raymond Smith.
Dr. White, fellow messengers to this convention, friends. I had last year in Kansas City the unprecedented opportunity to place in nomination the name of the only man to ever be defeated for the office of second vice president by a lady in the Southern Baptist Convention. If my candidate had to be defeated, I do not know of anyone that I had rather he be defeated by than Mrs. R.L. Mathis. I congratulate Mrs. Mathis on the fine job that she has done in the office of second vice president of our convention this year. I come this afternoon not to give you a long list of the accomplishments of Dr. John E. Huss, pastor of the Charleston Heights Baptist Church in South Carolina, because Dr. Huss is well known to this convention. Many of us have read the numerous volumes that have flown from his pen. We know of his accomplishments in the midweek prayer service in many of the churches of our convention. I just simply come this afternoon once again to place his name in nomination and to ask both ladies and gentlemen of this convention to support him by your vote for this office. Thank you.
John Huss has been nominated. Recognize Judson Burrell of Georgia.
Dr. White and fellow messengers, we share a ratio on boards and agencies of ministers and laymen. I would like to place a nomination for the second vice president of our convention, a great and wonderful layman. He has made one of the superb and outstanding addresses of this convention. He has served as president of his own state convention. He has served as president of the Board of Trustees of New Orleans Seminary. He has served on our executive committee. He is a man of insight, of penetration, of wisdom, and of judgment. I feel our Southern Baptist Convention and its officers needs the type and kind of leadership with a sense of fervency and dedication that this good layman demonstrated to every one of us last night. I would like to place in nomination Mr. Owen Cooper for the second vice president of this convention.
Owen Cooper of Mississippi has been nominated. I recognize Kenneth J. Joner of Maryland.
Mr. President, messengers of the convention, I would like to place a nomination for second vice president, the pastor of the Laurel Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Brother Jesse M. Hill has served there for the past 14 years. He is a graduate of Southern Seminary, a former chaplain during World War II in the U.S. Army, a former teacher at one of our fine institutions, the Baptist School at North Greenville Junior Baptist College. He has for the past 3 years represented the Convention of South Carolina on the Executive Committee of the Southern Baptist Convention. He's one of the finest men of God that it's been my privilege to know, who's had a profound influence upon my life. He's a missionary-minded pastor, his church having started 4 missions that are now churches. And as we went to Maryland to begin the work there, his church also sponsored our work there, as well as missions and churches in the New York area. He is a great and humble servant of our Lord Jesus Christ and of our Southern Baptist Convention. From my own experience, I can testify that he is a friend of young preachers. And I'd like to place in nomination the name of Jesse M. Hill of Greenville, South Carolina. Thank you.